are joined in studio with attorney Don Luce of the Luce Law Group, offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce is our legal contributor. He's the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers in Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Not surprising, because these books are very popular. Both are in their second printing. Don, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thank you.
Welcome back to the show. We talked, I think it was the last time, about a bill that was talking about putting a tax on certain food items.
Well, the bill would actually have prevented cities and villages from taxing food that is intended for home consumption. Specifically, it would have related to grocery store items that some cities currently tax. And under this proposed legislation, that would have been eliminated.
Like Nogales, Arizona, I think you had said the last time you were with us, 20% of their budget comes from that. So,
there are many cities around the state that derive a significant portion of their operating budgets from food tax.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this bill failed. The governor vetoed it. It was Senate Bill 1063. You and I had spoken about it last time, and the reason it was significant in part is because it involves such a large number of dollars. These revenues that are generated from food tax constitute, as you pointed out, in many cases, a significant portion of a city's operating budget. Had you taken those revenues away, it would have left a gap or a void. And there was concern by some cities that they would have a budgetary shortfall, which would affect their ability to provide fire and police protection and other essential city services. And in fact, when Governor Hobbs vetoed this bill, she sent a letter to the legislature saying that she had heard from dozens of leaders about the impact that the legislation would have had on the cities and towns. And it was, in her estimation, simply a shifting of where the money is going to come from, that if it didn't come from food tax, then it would have come from other sources, property taxes and so forth. And she didn't think that that was really a good idea, that it wouldn't essentially have eliminated costs for the residents of those cities. And so for those stated reasons, she vetoed the legislation. And as long as we're on the topic of vetoes, I think your listeners understand that bills that are passed in the legislature go to the governor for approval. So the governor has essentially one of two things that she can do. She can sign the bill, mm-hmm. in which case it'll become law,
mm-hmm.
or she can veto the bill.
Mm-hmm.
If she vetoes the bill, sometimes she'll explain her reasons for the veto. Not always, but sometimes, like in the case of Senate Bill 1063 having to do with the elimination of tax on food. She sent a letter explaining her reasons. But this legislative session, she's now up to, I think, 25 vetoes. In other words, 25 bills have gone to her desk for review. She signed some of them, but she's rejected at least 25, to my knowledge.
And she may be on record or on pace for a record number of vetoes, or at least as many as the last time there was a Democrat occupying the governor's office, and that would have been Janet Napolitano. So,
well, in the dynamic that is in play is that the legislature is narrowly controlled by Republicans. The governor is obviously a Democrat, so if you get these bills which are passed by party line votes, which is becoming more common, because you need everybody on board essentially to get these bills to the governor's office, there's a fair chance that the governor is going to veto the bill because it doesn't have any or significant Democrat support. So that's the dynamic in play. And what we're seeing is a large number of vetoes of bills that have been sent to her. Contrast that with last year, mm-hmm. where you had a Republican-controlled legislature, yes, and a Republican governor.
Yeah.
Governor Ducey was signing more than 300 bills into law each year.
Yeah.
An extremely large number, especially given that we have a part-time legislature. You know, our legislature...
It's a lot of bills signed into law. 300?
Over 300. Our legislature is only in session, on average, 5 months of the year. So that's a large number of bills to be sent to the governor, and that's a large number of bills to be signed by the governor, which in turn then become law.
While we're talking about vetoes, why did the governor veto killed legislation that a proponent said was designed to make it easier for people to operate their business out of their home?
Okay, so this is Senate Bill 1162, which I think was actually the governor's 25th veto of this legislative session. The governor felt that this bill, which was declared as... allowing home businesses to operate as a matter of right, so long as they didn't run afoul of deed restrictions, and would have eliminated any requirement for licensing that would have been allowed by city officials. She felt that this was not in the best interest of the cities, which have a vested interest in regulating what goes on within their boundaries, that under this bill, the home businesses would be operating essentially in the shadows, or potentially in the shadows. The cities wouldn't be able to track or regulate the type of businesses that were being conducted out of their these homes. And so therefore she vetoed this bill. But she went on to say that she's generally not opposed to lessening the restrictions on home businesses, and she recognizes the importance of home businesses in the overall economy. She simply said that this proposal wasn't the right one. So I think what she's saying is she's inviting another bill that would be a little more targeted towards what the legislature said it was trying to do.
So she opened the door to that possibility.
I think so, yes.
So current law says workers that are let go through no fault of their own can get up to 24 weeks of unemployment payments. And we kind of touched on this the last time. What's happening with that legislation?
Well,
Senate bill, I believe it's 1167.
It is. So this is on the cusp of actually making its way to the governor's office as well. There's a problem with one of the Republicans in the House, however, and that's Representative David Cook, who says that he can't support the measure. And when we said earlier that the legislature is narrowly controlled by Republicans, this is a great example. There are 29 Democrats. You need 31 votes to approve any measure in the House. If you lose this Republican vote,
yes,
then this bill is not going to find its way to the governor's office. Mm-hmm. So under this proposal, it would shorten the number of weeks that an unemployed worker would be eligible to receive benefits from a maximum of 24 to a maximum of 20. And 20 would be in a period of high unemployment, which we are not in currently. Right now, our seasonally adjusted unemployment rate is 3.7%. So it's relatively low historically and absolutely. Under this proposal, at 3.7% unemployment, which is where we're at, the maximum amount of weeks that a person could receive benefits would be 12. It would be essentially cut in half.
Wow. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. Now, under this proposal, it's a sliding scale. So as the unemployment rate goes up, the number of weeks that a person is entitled goes up as well.
Mm.
But the maximum, as you pointed out, would be 20 as opposed to the current 24.
Wow. We'll see what happens with Representative Cook of Globe, a Republican, whether he changes his mind. If he doesn't, this isn't going to go anywhere onto the governor. Don, I've got really only about a minute, but there was, could you quickly summarize something concerning carrying a loaded weapon onto school grounds? This was SB 1331.
Sure. So there is a proposal which gained preliminary House approval that would allow any person who has a CCW permit, concealed weapon permit, to take a loaded firearm onto school premises. This is being advocated by Senator Shamp out of Surprise, Arizona. It would expand the privileges that are afforded people who have CCW permits. Currently, they can bring their weapons into bars, and Arizona also has reciprocity agreements with other states. So if you have a CCW permit in Arizona, you can carry a concealed weapon in another state. This would expand it so that you would also be able to carry a weapon onto school premises. There are several people and organizations who feel this is a bad idea. It was approved on a party line vote in the Senate. And so one has to ask what chance it would have on arrival on Governor Hobbs's desk.
Well, I think we can all figure that one out, right?
Anyway, I don't know if that's going to happen because there's one Republican representative who says it's a bad idea. He's not going to support it, which means that it likely will not get the requisite number of votes to make it out of the legislature.
Don Luce of Luce Law, offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Thank you, Don. Great to see you. We'll see you in early May.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, that will do it on behalf of Don Luce, Bill Buckmaster, and Tom Fairbanks. Wishing everybody well this afternoon.